accident.
Start it that way. Yeah,
oh, you should so keep that in there.
What?
So this is the verbal diarrhea cast.
I can't do laughing.
I can do anything I want. I'm James.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Carol.
And we're all crazy.
I second that motion.
I third it.
So, I figured we'd start out with what we've been doing this week. Anything new? Did you want to start, Jackie?
I had a very busy week, like I have every week. Our office got painted. Our break room, we came into the work office. We started a work week on Monday morning, walking into our office break room, and it is purple. I don't know how you could describe this purple other than a very warm mauve kind of purple.
Is it like something you would expect to see in, like, Willy Wonka's chocolate
factory? Yes, exactly. And with a dark purple band on top. I personally love it, which tells me it's probably really awful. Because if
it's
I have bad taste. I'm so tacky when it comes to color. I told my sister, hey, Jen, I'm going to trim on my house Mediterranean blue. I think it'll be awesome. Joe was like, no, it is not going to be awesome, and I will kill you.
Like, she was ready to kill you.
Hi, kitty cat. Are you trying to find the microphone? Don't do that. Okay, the last thing we need for her to do is try to get it.
Okay.
No, so we walked into the office building, and it was this lovely purple color, and I like it. I do. I really do like it. Carol's shaking her head vigorously because she doesn't agree with me.
It's awful.
Most of the people at the office hate it.
So anyway, it's this awful dark plum purple color. I mean, it looks okay in, like, fluorescent light.
Hold on. You have a kitty cat tail hat.
I have that for a little... Oh, excuse me, kitty.
I know, it's like, why are you putting your butt in my face? Move
my
your butt.
Cat does that all the time. So annoying. I'm all like, I really don't want your butt in my face, because stuff comes out of there that I really don't want to know, and your butt's right there. I don't stick my butt in yours face, so don't stick your butt in mine.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody kept calling that your cat's winking at you.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Yeah, that's awful.
I keep reminding of a Stewie and Family Guy. And the dog. What's his name? The dog.
Oh, God. Yeah. Not Snoopy, that's the other one.
That's totally off, yeah.
Well,
Brian. I keep thinking of the dog.
It was easy, yeah.
Because that's how animals greet each other, they sniff each other's butts.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the episodes. And
yeah.
That cat that just reminded me of that. But anyway, that's way off topic.
Way off topic.
So anyway, this week, we started the work week with going into the new purple office building and trying to readjust to our office environment, because we're still suffering the hostile takeover. And we have a new employee, which is strange. They moved her from Denver. I don't know if you've met her, Carol.
No, but there's another guy down there. Have you seen him? He's really curly hair. He works in the Wells Department.
He's a temp. And then I know that
Is it Carrot Top?
He looks like Carrot Top.
He's Carrot Top.
With brown hair.
With brown hair, yeah.
Mm-hmm. White really guy, tall, skinny, long nose, and the bouffant. You know, the natural bouffant.
Constantly as
props. He looks like he works like... I look at him, and this is awful, but he looks like he works like as an undertaker. He's so pale and pasty. He just has that vibe, that kind of, like, creepy, just like...
He's either an undertaker or a taxidermist.
Yeah, yeah. Like, some closet taxidermist or
never
something.
Never sees the sun.
You know, and then we had a couple of co-workers got promoted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know? Which
is better than being fired.
Oh, but that's because some people got demoted.
Oh,
it was a big brouhaha. Oh, really? And it's this other person that got promoted, who I like a lot, and I think it's great. Yeah. She's awfully young. And younger than most of the people who are reporting to her. She's going to be the manager of these people.
Mm-hmm.
She's managing an apartment, and she's
two or three years... Sounds a lot like your sister.
Like that.
What she had to do.
Yeah, and it's tough.
It was tough for her.
Now, granted, she went to a phenomenal school, and I only wish I had her education, but...
Not Carol's sister. She also went to a hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
true. We have changed.
Went back to the...
My friend who got promoted.
Yes.
She was promoted, and she had a fantastic degree, and she deserves this promotion. She worked her ass off. But it's definitely causing waves in the office, because we're shifting from this traditional company where it was very family-oriented, and you worked your way up the ranks. You started at the bottom, and you ended up at the top, and very traditional, old school. And now it's a new company with new investors and new management, and our new company is, if you can do it, and you can do it better than this other guy, I don't care if you've been here 1 month or 2 months or, 20 years, you're promoted. And these people are being promoted based on their abilities, which is amazing, but it's causing a lot of strife and difficulty with people who've been there for 20 years, which is just the way it is.
To get off of work.
Yeah, work's kind of boring. Yeah.
Have you done anything fun this week?
No. Oh, I went to a play with Carol. Carol and I went to see a...
It's called Be My Baby.
Be My Baby, yeah.
And
Be My Baby.
It was a very good play in the middle of...
Did it have a baby?
No,
there was a baby. It was a plastic baby. It was a baby doll.
So it was Be My Plastic Baby?
It'd Be My Plastic Baby Doll. Because we couldn't actually have a real baby in the play. Although I thought that would be really awesome. The play was really good. We live in San Antonio, and this place is 23 miles outside the city of San Antonio, city limits. And that's a long way to get to the city limits. And then another 23 miles.
Where is it at?
Full Verde.
Verde, Texas.
Full Verde, Texas? 21 North, halfway up to Johnson City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you take a left on, 18-something or other. And we were, and Bull Verde is, this crazy... It goes from, 1604 all the way to Bull Verde. Okay, well, and so it's this long, long road.
Is it before or after Canyon Lake?
I don't think...
Before Canyon Lake.
Yeah, before Canyon Lake.
Before Canyon Lake.
You pass Canyon Lake, and then you get to Johnson City.
Yeah, it's before Canyon Lake.
So it's pretty much in between here and Canyon Lake.
Yeah.
It's still
not far, but... We got lost.
30 minutes. We got lost on this, and I'm so happy with Carol, because I'm a city girl. Carol's a city girl. We live in a big city.
I like
cities. We're on this two little lane road in the middle of nowhere, scrub oak, no lights at all, just moonlight. It was very creepy for me. I didn't like it at all.
No way to pull over, shoulders of any kind.
And then
no way to turn around. You have to pull in somebody's long driveway and then kind of back out and make sure you don't
steep ditches on the sides of the road.
Yeah, they kind of had.
So you couldn't even pull on the side of the road.
Not steep ditches, but they did have ditches where I almost got caught in one because I turned around because I was
her little Honda.
Okay, yeah.
Honda was made for pavement, not off-road.
So.
Oh, and then we were going around. We go around the bend, and then there's this, neon Tejas rodeo place with a steakhouse. This random steakhouse with neon. Looks like a little village.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what the heck is this? Where is this? And we were lost, so it wasn't even the right place. So we ended up turning around, and then we went to the right place, and it's this little teeny tiny theater. I mean, it was very cool. It was eclectic furnishings. It's seats. Those row of seats from air terminals. When they get outdated, they go somewhere.
Like the ones from the 1950s.
Yes.
The Chinese place.
It looked more like a school bus, seats.
That kind of material.
Well, the molded chair, row of them in five rows that bolted, that gets bolted down to the floor, the stadium seating. Was bought out of a theater, and then they built their own platforms to make it stadium and bolted into the. It was
homemade theater. Yeah,
the whole thing theater, was home done.
Well, and you said that you could have dinner beforehand, but y'all didn't do it. Did y'all get a chance to even look at that or see what they had?
We had the dessert, and dessert was awesome. Something was called a bourbon pie. You're in the South when it's an ice box pie. That is made with bourbon. I'm pretty sure it's butterscotch pudding with bourbon.
Yeah, it tastes butterscotch.
What's an icebox pie? What does that mean?
It's a refrigerator pie.
Uh-huh.
Any kind of a cream pie, like a chocolate cream pie?
Oh, something that you have to basically set in the refrigerator to cool.
Made with a jello base. Mavet's made with a jello base. It needs a set.
Okay.
And they call them icebox pies.
Okay.
Because they have to be You don't bake them on your shelf.
Okay, I have this like random question. Mm-hmm. On that movie Sweet Home Alabama, the mom talks about taking the bologna cake out from the fridge. What do you know what a bologna cake is?
Whatever it is, it sounds disgusting.
I know, that's what I thought,
dear.
Too.
I don't know that one. I'm going to have to ask some of my other Deep South friends.
Okay, I just wondered because I never even looked it up. I keep meaning to look it up, but I always forget.
It might not mean that's meat.
Because I kept thinking, it was just like, you know, pieces of bologna, and it looked like a cake.
I just imagine this little the bologna meatloaf thing, and like,
And that
was the play we went to was based in the 1950s, and it was really funny because that's when pizzerias were still new when they were in San Francisco, and they said, and this woman in the play with her fake Scottish accent was saying, "You must try the pizza pie." And it was just so funny. You had to be there, I guess.
Yeah,
but
that was not funny.
It wasn't funny. It was just because, you know, today we take things for granted.
Piece of pie, and it's like pizza pie. You know, the way she said it was just weird. Yeah. And a submarine, she didn't call a submarine.
A hoagie?
She called, like, No, it wasn't a hoagie. She called it something else. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was like this weird.
It was like, they had a lot of, it was very, it was, it's a theater, it's a community theater group. Mm-hmm. And it's a small theater. There's six people in the whole play. You know, they just rotate those four main characters and two supporting characters. Mm-hmm. And then,
Is it just a blank stage, or do they actually have
props? No, they're sets. They're sets and a prop. They teach theater to students when they're not. They only have four plays a year, and this is one of the plays we went to. And our coworker, you know, bringing a little work into it, his hobby is to make the set design. So he gave us some free tickets because Carol made one of the props for the play.
Yeah, I made a prop. It was like an old record player. He wanted me to cover up all the things, but then I added little pieces to it. I added like little, I painted like little knobs.
Okay.
And then I painted, and then I made like a little thing where the record could actually sit on top of the turntable. And then I actually made the little thing that holds
the little arm.
The arm for the turntable and stuff. So, and they actually, it was actually just supposed to be a prop that he used and kind of opens up and then closes again. But they actually wrote another scene into it
because
where they actually used the prop more. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I need to go see it.
I made that.
I'm all like, I would scream, I made that. I made it. Look at it. It looks so cool. So, it came out really good.
Anyway, the theater is actually called, they have a website and it's called www.stageboulevardi.org. And the name of the theater group is Stage Inc.
I can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, put the show notes. And it was Be My Maybe. And it was a fun play. It's I've gone to a lot of plays growing up. My father thought it would be culturally stimulating. Not that he would join us in the play, but he would drop. We bought tickets to the Majestic Theater here in San Antonio, which is a historic theater, and for cultural enlightenment, he would get us symphony tickets, drop us off, and then we would watch the symphony, and then he'd come pick us up when it was done. He didn't want to suffer through it with us, but we had to go. And I really did not form an appreciation for Pops, but once in a while we got to go to a big play, and we went to see Phantom of the Opera, and we went to see...
Isn't that still your favorite?
It'll probably always be my favorite.
Because was that your first real big...
It was my very first... stage production.
Mine too. So maybe that's why I love Phantom of the Opera too.
Yeah.
And I had to get the piano
book.
I still
haven't seen it.
We were
so good.
We were 12, and we were in Michigan, and we went to Toronto to watch it. And that was amazing.
Mine was the first time when we first moved here.
Yeah.
Is when they
we
showed,
went there too,
yeah.
Yeah,
when
we
they
went to that one.
They went to show Phantom of the Opera, and it was my whole family. And it was just, it was so great because it was like so cool to see this thing play on, you know, on the stage.
Yeah, we heard the songs, and the songs were hits before the play, you know, ever came out. Yeah. I mean, growing up, I watched, we went to the plays, we read the book, the original book that was adapted from, it's very depressing. And then we watched the films, the old black and white film, the new film, you know, anything they made with it. Now, as an adult, it's not my favorite. It's my favorite because it's the one I remember growing up and I have good history with it, but it's not my favorite form of play to watch. Mm-hmm. I would much Carol and I had Broadway tickets, off-Broadway tickets or whatever it's called. Broadway across America.
Broadway
across and America. Last season, or two seasons ago, and we watched this Alfred Hitchcock play, and it was my favorite. Of course, I'm a huge Alfred Hitchcock fan, so that's my favorite play, which is why I like this play, Be My Baby, because it was, you have to use your imagination. The set props were good, but it was, you still had to use your imagination. Yeah. And it's fascinating to watch these people act in front of you. And they're regular people, and they have to ignore the audience.
Yeah.
So we're clapping or cheering or booing or whatever we're doing.
They have to act
like nothing's happening. And it's like you're watching. And it's just, it's a lot more fun. I really like
the small theater. Yeah. I think my favorite play so far is either Wicked. I love Wicked. Or The Lion King. The Lion King was awesome. The set, the...
Where did you see that at?
Actually, I saw it because Jackie couldn't go.
Yeah,
it was at
the Majestic.
Yeah, it was at the Majestic.
That's that same Broadway.
Same Broadway across America thing.
Go.
So it was just this awesome, you know, the costumes, the dancing, everything. It's just fascinating to watch it when, you know, you see it as a cartoon and then to watch it as an actual play.
An adaptation
of a live film and have...
People aren't lions, but how do you act like a lion?
Exactly.
You know?
And they did such a great job in that movie, in that play.
One of the most influential plays I've ever been to, or show performance, live performance, I guess it'd have to be, was, I hate to admit it, but it was probably Lord of the Dance.
I was trying to get in a word edgewise.
Oh.
My favorite experience was Riverdance.
Yes.
As a live experience, and I saw Lord of the Dance on VHS, and I really want to go see that live, because seeing that in a live setting is amazing.
You can't capture the energy on film.
Yeah.
You can't capture the unique experience, the sound, the vibrations, the feet, all of this stuff. I mean, I've seen, like, some really awesome plays, like Macbeth was awesome, but I've seen Macbeth in theater.
It is at least a well-respected play.
It's very respected. And you know what's happening. It's Shakespeare. I mean, come on. It's kind of all the same.
Shakespeare's kind of shitty.
Well, for its time and age, I'm sure it was fantastic.
Yeah, but now he's shitty.
Shakespeare was kind of fun, because at least there's witches and supernatural stuff in it.
Yeah.
You know? But,
well, it's fantastical.
I still like Shakespeare plays.
I do.
I'll watch them.
I like the plays.
Because I understand them. And,
I do like Hamlet.
It takes a while to figure out.
Well, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's like Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Edgar Allan Poe, I listened to a different podcast, and it was the Spooktacular podcast. Spooky podcast. And they had, it was so funny. I think Tara and Sassy had too many margaritas.
The podcast you were listening to was the most popular girls on the internet.
Yes, and they are very popular, and I love these girls. And I don't know them, I've never met them, but they make me laugh. And they were drinking bloody...
Red rum.
Red rum drinks. And I think they had one too many.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of it...
But that must make the podcast
so much fun.
So great.
There's kind of a peak for drunkenness with podcasting. It can either make it really great or really bad.
That's true.
This one, it made it great.
It made it great. And but the best part was at the very, very, very end. And it wasn't Sassy or Tara. I'm not sure who did the rendition for it. But they did the recitation of Lenore by Edgar Allan Poe. Uh-uh. And I hate Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
But that was the best reading of that poem I have ever heard.
Wow.
And it was on a podcast. I was like, it's so awesome. And it was so appropriate. And it was just an awesome... I've read Edgar Allan Poe, but I've never listened to it.
Speaking of kind of dark writers, on my drive home, we were listening, and they were talking about Neil Gaiman.
Oh, I love Neil Gaiman.
The Graveyard Book. Have you... I think we listened to some of the Grave... Because it was
three books in one.
It was
the Graveyard?
No. That's... A part of the Graveyard Book came from that. It was a short story about the kid who his parents died and he went to live in a graveyard.
No, I haven't. I don't
it was
that.
It was part of the little short stories, but he made a full book out of it, a full children's book, and it's basically all about this kid who.
Well, Caroline was not a very
Coraline.
Coraline was not a very happy.
No, that's his style of writing.
Yeah.
But it's...
Was that the same guy who did Coraline? Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he did the Graveyard. If you can, like, find the Graveyard book, it's really good.
Okay.
Especially, I think if you go on his website, he has,
Wait a minute, first of all, who were you talking to about this? Not your carpool buddies.
Yeah, it was on NPR.
NPR had this?
Yes, no. You can go on his website, and he has recordings of himself reading it around his book tour. So he reads the entire book. So you can listen to the entire book with him telling it. It's actually really fantastic, because he...
I think he's an excellent storyteller.
Have you heard him speak? It's fantastic. Really? You really have to listen to it.
I like authors reading their own works.
Yeah.
Me
well,
too.
Especially Bill Bryson.
Yeah, I do.
Bill Bryson is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love Bill Bryson. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite authors, especially to listen to.
Yes.
And this... Okay, so what's new this week? We've talked extensively about theater. And our office building and office work.
Bleh.
And so, Jamie, what have you done new this week?
As much gaming as I can.
You did play a lot of games this week. You played with Ken a few times. What did you play?
When I was playing with my friend, I played Titan Quest. And Titan Quest is... Do you... to think of what...
He's looking at our glazed blank looks.
Yeah.
But go ahead,
I'm
keep talking.
Have you seen Diablo?
Yeah, who hasn't? I mean,
I've seen it, yeah.
Even if you've never seen the game, you've seen the cover.
Yeah, so imagine Diablo, except instead of fighting demons, you're in Greek mythology. So you're kind of a Greek fighter, and you're instead of killing demons, you're killing satyrs. And it's actually a pretty old game, but it's fun. You click
so
on.
So why were you playing it?
You can click on it, and they drop goodies. And then you kill more things, and they drop more goodies.
Oh, is it like World of Warcraft?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
like that,
I mean, that's basically what World of Warcraft is based on, is
Diablo.
Do you
do, like, quests and stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
so you go to a quest giver, he gives you a quest, you go kill stuff along the way, and then you'll get more stuff. Mm. And you collect loot, and as you level up, you can do special skills. Like, I have one where I can summon wolves, and they come help me, and... attack all the peoples.
Oh, cool. You know what? I kind of miss World of Warcraft. I am a gamer, yes.
There's a new expansion.
Is there?
Which one? What's it called?
Mist of Pandaria. You could be a panda bear.
Oh!
A panda monk.
Oh no.
Panda
monk. You might have just hooked Jack on there.
Panda bear?
I can be a panda bear?
Panda bear.
Like, I might have to be one of those stupid dark elf crafts. I can be a panda bear?
But you will probably not be able to get the name Poe.
Oh. Well, not the name Poe. Everybody has a name Poe. Call him Popo.
Look at that. She's all like, I don't want Popo. I want Popo.
Goofball.
I have news to tell you. I didn't tell you. Our friend Sarah, she's getting a house. They're buying a house. I can do that, right?
No.
Sarah G?
Uh-huh.
And her husband, they're buying their first house. It's very exciting.
Are they
going to
get World of Warcraft with it?
They might, because her husband gets a man cave.
I don't see him playing World of Warcraft, though.
He plays... a lot. He plays all those single-person shooter things.
Uh-huh. I don't see him getting World of Warcraft. If he's into single, bro-y shooter gamies, and that's it. If he plays other games, then
But he's getting a man cave, so that was exciting news. Until they have they're expecting their first child, so until there's a second child, he still gets to keep his man cave. And then I told her that when there's a second child, then his man cave gets to be the garage like everybody else's man cave.
Yeah.
But right now he's excited because he gets his own very room for gaming.
So maybe when we get more money we can hop back into it
because I kind of miss it, once in a while I'll be like, oh, that was kind of fun to play, especially when you play with friends.
That's basically what Titan Quest is, except with only two people.
Oh, okay.
You can have, I think, up to six, but it was just me and Ken. And you basically went around and killed stuff and leveled up.
Okay.
And
the
other game,
what?
Since you asked me, that I played with him, is Warhammer 40K.
I see that on your list.
Let me think of the whole title. Warhammer 40K Retribution. And the mode we played was called Last Stand. And it's, Retribution is, Dawn of War. It's, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War - Retribution.
Glassy look on my face.
Uh-huh.
But
I
like the little figurines, okay?
Imagine the little figurines, except you can click and tell them where to go.
Not Farmville.
No. It might be Farmville if by Farmville you, when you click on things, they die. So, the last stand is you basically play as one person, because generally you're controlling a whole army, and in last stand you play one person, and it's three people playing multiplayer against waves of harder and harder enemies. So it was me, Ken, and generally one other random person, and we could be like space marines or orcs and go through and kill all these things, and as you level up you get new abilities. And so I got one of the big giant robots. It's called a Dreadnought, and is basically kind of this walking tank that has a one of their warriors that has almost died, and they kind of preserve him in this giant walking tank machine.
So I played some social this week. That was
fun. I did too.
I actually didn't play that much. I'm falling off the bandwagon just because my schoolwork, I have to write his paper, so...
And also, it's suffering the same things that Farmville did. It's getting really sluggish.
It just won't load.
I think there's just too much stuff in it.
Yeah. And you can't do your quests or go to visit your friends because it takes so much time to generate, you know, the graphics, and then it's not loaded, and it's like...
Or it says if you want to send this to a friend, or if you want to... It's just too slow that I just exit out and just keep playing, but you have to get things from people, and you have to ask for help. But since it never would pop up, you know, for me to ask people, I just like, oh, screw you. XXX, and just keep going, and keep going, and so I stopped playing.
But
Sims
I've gotten in some serious thought to getting Sims pets. Tara and Sassy.
Tara had it,
and she said she pre-ordered it to get the super collector limited edition, whatever. And you build your Sims like you normally do, but you have pets, and you can actually.
An expansion?
No, it's actually a game.
It's a standalone expansion.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you kind of you like Sims Medieval.
Standalone.
Yeah. It's a standalone, so you don't have to have Sims.
And it sounds like fun because she built Tara does on the Super Happy Funtime Show, so she built the Super Happy Funtime Show house, and she put all their characters and she made all their characters and. Just let them play, and she doesn't play them after she makes them, so they get, if they want to kill themselves, they can. You know, and
that would be me.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that AlphaVox and ZibZang were sleeping in bed together.
Yeah, I was like, what are they doing? And I just thought it was hilarious. Like, I wish you could go visit that house just to see that, but...
Mm-hmm. That's kind of why I'm kind of sad that there isn't really a good Sims Online. Because that would be super
if
neat.
If we all could just play, as our friends play in the same house like that, at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun, to be neighbors, and then to be able to go over to other people's houses and actually interact with them, you know? Hey, Sims, very good idea that we had. Take it. Use it.
Well, they did do a Sims Online, but it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, well, improve it.
Yeah, and then make it better.
Yeah, get better servers.
Don't make a shitty one. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly.
If World of Warhammer... That's wrong, World of Warcraft.
Yes.
There are thousands and thousands of nerds that are cheering you right now. They are not booing you, they are cheering you.
Why?
Because where did Blizzard get their idea for Warcraft?
Probably
Warhammer.
Well, that's what it reminds me of. I'm sorry.
Well, that was the original, but granted, Blizzard did make it a good game, which up until recently, Warhammer hasn't had good games. The Dawn of War games that I play with Ken, those are good. The Space Marine game is actually pretty good too.
You know, the other podcast I listened to was 60 Minutes. I don't have regular cable television, so I don't get to watch 60 Minutes. So I get their podcast release of it, and they're talking about Steve Jobs and his book. And that he knew he had pancreatic cancer, and he had a slow-growing kind. And them talking about Steve Jobs, because, you know, I don't know anything about Steve Jobs other than he's the guy who introduced Apple, he's the guy who introduced iPad, and he's the guy you see on these advertisements. I know his name, but you don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And apparently he wasn't the most
pleasant,
well-liked person?
No. I mean, he kind of was a bastard.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, and his...
but he expected the best from everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't do the best, well, then
that's exactly you're what fired. The the book says, the autobiography that he is approved of, our autobiography that's already released or whatever.
Well, did you know that he was adopted?
I know that now.
Yeah,
I know that now, and he has. It was just, it was kind of fascinating because I love Mac, and.
We will talk about that later in the podcast.
We will talk about that later in the podcast. Yeah, why can't we talk about it now?
Because I want to... Because you ramble.
Okay.
Rambly ramble.
Getting back on track, we want to talk about board games.
No.
No?
I've only talked about two of my games. Did you see my list here of my games that I played
I
this
week? I
thought
we covered all these things.
I covered two.
We talked about...
Two.
Sims, Titan, and Warhammer. So we only left off Test Drive Unlimited, Peggle, and Pinball.
Uh-huh.
And those are that important.
Oh, gee whiz, Jack.
It's Peggle!
I can just go.
No.
You just want me to go?
Because it makes it more fun.
Okay,
with
so what exactly is Test Drive Unlimited? It sounds like a car racy game.
It is a car racy game, and it's actually a really bad car racy game. But one...
Why did you get it?
Well, I got it a while ago.
It's one of those things that Apple Box recommended?
No... He recommends bad movies. This is a bad game. I actually bought it on the Xbox has a download service. Like, so you can actually download full games. And I bought it for, I think, $20. It's probably worth 10. Maybe.
So we have it on the arcade?
Yeah. Okay. So if you wanted to play it, you could. It's
I never would.
Do you...
We have that really
bad
cool...
Racer?
We have that really cool racy game.
But it is not really a racy game.
Oh, what is it?
It's...
Your Test Drive Unlimited, it sounds like a racing
driving
game.
Cars around Hawaii game.
I might like that game.
Yeah. The cars
the
don't...
aimless?
Yeah, the cars really don't handle very
well. Like a Mario Kart kind of...
No, there's no racing, really. I mean, you can
it's
race.
It's like a cruising game.
Yeah.
California cruise.
So, I mean, they have these little events that you basically can drive to, and then it'll tell you, okay... race to this other part of the road, and generally it's pretty easy. And the handling is really bad. The neat thing about it is they basically modeled the entire island of Hawaii, and you're actually driving on real streets. I think they change up, like, they have car dealerships everywhere.
It's a good advertisement.
Yeah.
For what?
Hawaii.
For going to visit.
I don't know if it's a good advertisement. Because it's kind of a bad game. but it is...
Even a bad game has a fan base.
But
you don't get to go near the beaches either, because you're going
you
on
the beach. You probably can drive on the beach.
You can drive on the beaches.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, the off-roading.
Yeah.
Beach time driving.
So, I mean, it has all real cars, so, like, if you ever wanted to drive a Mustang GT out on the beach, you can.
You know, random car fact.
Uh-huh.
I just saw today that Ford is... Uh-huh. Not Ford. Yeah, Ford Mustang... are selling the kit, the 69 Ford Mustang car kit.
Uh-huh.
They're selling them now, so you can build your own 60.
Ford is selling them themselves?
Yes, through Ford.
That's smart.
$15,000.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I was like, isn't that like the most popular Ford car? So now anybody who wanted that Mustang who could get the original can buy one.
I would do that.
I know, that's
even
why
though
I mentioned it.
Yeah. But I'd still rather have a Porsche. But... Huh?
Okay, yeah. Why a horse?
Sleepy kitty!
You woke her up. Okay. Speaking...
So, back to Test Drive Unlimited.
Yes.
I wanted to move past Test Drive Unlimited.
But I think you would actually enjoy it.
I think I might, just because I like bad games.
Yeah, it's a bad game.
I like aimless games, and that might be...
And you don't have to put a disc in, you just play.
I love arcade games.
So I've been driving around the island of Hawaii...
See, I find that fun.
Yeah.
I find that to be enjoyable. I think I might
like
some
of the fun things they have is, like, they'll have this guy, oh, I need you to drive my super expensive Ferrari all the way across the island and deliver it. And it's one of those where you get deducted, you get $80,000 if you deliver it in pristine condition.
Wow.
And every time you bump into something, it takes money off.
Oh.
So, I spent... probably 20 or 30 minutes driving this super fast Ferrari 55 miles an hour. Because part of me wanted to, like, just race this car, and the other part of me, like, I could get $80,000. So
you go back and you play it again, and then you go
on those, you can only do them once. That's, yeah.
Well, that just...
Otherwise, you wouldn't be scared about crashing it.
Yeah, the other game you played, and I think, what was it, Hendrix or Kropotkin?
Kropotkin. Yes, Pinball FX.
No, Peggle. It's his fault.
No.
You said Peggle right here. Wasn't it Kropotkin who always plays it?
No, maybe. He plays...
One of your buddies on these podcasts plays Peggle, and the reason, that's why you bought Peggle.
It was probably Kropotkin.
He bought super headphones to listen to his Beethoven.
Yes.
You know, because it plays Beethoven when you get every night. I hate this game.
Yeah, so I played Peggle a little bit and then kind of like, I'm done with that again.
Does this mean we bought a new table on Pinball FX 2?
No!
We did.
They had it for free! I got it for free! And it's actually a really fun table. It's the paranormal table. And so it's basically kind of like 1920s style... what is that show? X-Files. So you're basically kind of hunting down these weird paranormal stuff.
Did you say 1920s style?
Yes.
1920s?
Yes.
I don't kind of think of the X-Files as 1920s. More like Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy?
Does Dick Tracy hunt down Loch Ness Monster?
In my world, yes.
No. Does X-Files would hunt down something
Dick
like
Tracy
that?
Dick Tracy was in Jessica Rabbit that... What was the name of that movie?
That was...
That Peter Rabbit Rabbit movie?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
And Dick Tracy was in there.
No, Dick Tracy was the Dick Tracy one with Madonna.
Yeah,
and
he was in the film.
Madonna,
but he wasn't playing Dick Tracy.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Who was he playing?
He was playing a detective. In Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I like that.
But anyway, it's a good pinball table that's free. I'm not sure how long it's free, but it's cool.
Okay.
And I played it a lot.
Speaking of gaming, we have a whole list of board games to play.
Wait.
Or that we did play.
Breaking 4, Part 2.
Bum, bum.
Part 2!
Hi, everybody, we're back.
Part 2!
Would you skip me?
Part 2.
Oh, no.
Back to part 1, because we skipped Carol.
How
what did you do,
dare
Carol?
You skip me? Okay, well, not much besides the play and then going out to a girlfriend's birthday, but I've been listening to the Aerosmith, does
the
noise in my head bother you yet, or something like that, his autobiography book, and oh my gosh.
So it's an audio book?
Yeah, it's an audio book,
okay.
But, you know, it's actually a book, but I don't have time to read the book, so I've been listening to it, but oh my gosh, this guy who does the reading actually kind of reminds me of Steven Tyler, because it's not him reading the book.
Yeah, he reads his forward, and that's it.
Yeah, and so this book is, like, totally out there, but it's such a good book. I mean, like, a really good book. He's met so many famous people. I'm like, how can you be such a lucky guy that you can meet all these cool people, you know, and actually spend time with them, and, you know... Most of it is with, you know, drug
I still
use
wanna know
stuff,
how he's still alive.
And all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, his drug use is
his
like
drug
you
use
are lucky.
Is crazy.
You are a
yeah,
lucky
crazy.
Man.
And let me warn you, there's a lot of cursing and there's a lot of sex stuff in it. But
well, it's Aerosmith.
But
it's
hilarious. It's a great
well,
book.
Well, you know what you find out and I found out with reading that book is that I didn't realize he was such... For somebody who has lived this rock star party life, he seems to be very devoted to his family.
Yeah.
And to his wives.
Yeah, he seems
you know,
like, yeah,
even
yeah.
though they're ex-wives, he's... Yeah. You don't really hear scandal with his ex-wives. You don't hear bad trash talking. It's not like that. And it seems like he's very sincere with his personal relationships when he's not using.
Yeah, when he's not using. But he's such a fascinating person, though.
It's a great
you know,
book.
It's like a very good read if you like autobiography books.
Or Aerosmith.
Or Aerosmith in general, you know.
I love the album Crying. That was my favorite.
Crying. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, Crying.
I think the only one we had was Get a Grip.
Get a Grip,
and it had some, like, Eat the Rich was really good, but some of them were
Well, they talk about, like, Jenny Got a Gun and how he came up with that. It goes, why does Jenny have a gun? Sorry, I hit the board. It goes, why does Jenny have a gun? And how he comes up with his songs and his lyrics and his melodies and how he has a synergy with his guitarist and how this magic happens,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I like their, and they had such different genres of music, and they've been around a long time, and even though I'm 30, I have, you know, the man's, what, 70?
Yeah, I guess, like, for me, the closest comparison I can think of is, like, Queen.
I don't know, because he died young. So.
No, I mean that their range of music.
Oh, the range of music, yeah.
Not that who is it? Freddie Mercury and Steven Tyler have anything in common, but that they have such differing styles throughout their kind of musical career.
Oh, and then you learn that Aerosmith, his father, was a pianist.
A Juilliard. Pianist. He went to Juilliard.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that Steven Tyler is an extremely good pianist also.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's a true talented musician, but the kind of music he liked is probably not what his father liked. You know?
No.
So, it was a very good book.
Very good book.
Oh, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not really. Well, I'm still playing Professor Layton. I haven't finished yet.
Layton? Which one are you on still?
Still on the,
Unwound Future. I think it's Unwound Future.
Unwound Future. And so I actually realized I'm getting much better at these. Excuse me, I mispronounced my R there. I'm getting much better. I have always had a problem with my R's. I had to have speech therapy when I was younger.
That. How do you say your?
Like, I do like this. Up? I don't know. I do like this weird. Like, you know, kind of like this wrong, you know? Oh, like, butter or something like that. You know, I can't do it again. I can't do it on purpose, but I do it once in a while. I kind of stumble across my R's. But anyway, I'm doing much better on the puzzles than I have done in the past.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not using very many cheats. I have a lot more of my, I'm not using very many coins or anything. Mm-hmm. And
what do you think of the story? Because I've heard that there's, like, people who have played it, there's kind of this weird relationship that Layton has with the little boy, and it's like, is Layton a pedophile?
I don't
that
know.
That should be funny.
I don't know. But it does, the actual next Professor Layton one explains their relationship.
Uh-huh.
So it goes more into the relationship. So when you're first playing it, you're all like, "What's going
what
on between? Yeah, why is this boy with this, you know, man
the,
with this top hat and stuff?"
The unwound future.
No, the unwound future is like he's going
evil
back in. Yeah, he's going back in time, or he's going in the future, and he's trying to stop his future self from becoming. Well, his future self is evil.
Yeah.
So he's trying to stop his future self from making this time machine and going back and changing something. But I haven't gotten to the part where he changes it, but I'm figuring it out where he has this, like, girl that he used to love before and where he got his top hat before. He got his top hat from. And so I think he wants to go back and either save her. I think she was, like, one of these experiments went awry and it blows up and I'm not sure if she died or not.
Yeah.
And so I think he wants to go back and try to fix that.
I think is that there's this weird complicated story on top of this weird puzzle game.
Yeah, because Luke meets his future self.
Yeah.
And they talk about big Luke and little Luke and you're like getting confused and they're like, which Luke, you know, kind of thing. So, I mean, the puzzles are actually really good and I'm enjoying it a lot. And
Would you like it as much if it didn't have that kind of weird story?
Yeah, because I enjoy puzzles.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if the story's weird or not. I think it's fun because, you know, they have a lot of the mini games, too, that you can do. And I enjoy the mini games as well as just doing the puzzles, too. So the storyline doesn't bother me. I mean, it's a storyline is to get you through all the puzzles and stuff. So you can ask people questions to get those puzzles. Anyway, apparently I'm boring Jackie, so we'll move on to the next one.
What?
She's not paying attention at all. So, break. Part two!
Break. Okay, so part two, we're talking about board games!
Board games!
Board game?
What was that?
That was board game.
It was board game.
I know, but it was supposed to
be... Well, okay, our favorite board games. This is a funny story in my marriage. The first game we're talking about is Monopoly. And Monopoly... How long were we married? 2 years into our marriage? And we had played board games early in our marriage, because we were... dating, and we were broke, and we were poor, and I love Scrabble. We were playing Scrabble, and all of a sudden, he got Monopoly.
I hate Scrabble.
I love Scrabble. And you're so good at it, Jamie.
That's why I hate Scrabble. It.
It's because you're so good at it?
And you just...
But that's the fun. I'm not good at spelling. I'll never be good at spelling. But just because I did not agree with that one word that one time. Should not ruin the game for you.
It's not that one time. Okay. That's just, I just don't like Scrabble for some reason.
That's because you can't see the fun in just putting in a word that you, oh, I found a word, put it here.
Yeah.
No, you have to look at the strategy, and you have to sit there and calculate, and if I put this word here, but no, if I do it this way, it'll get me more points over here. That's not fun.
No,
this
is it's
why,
not.
This is why I'm
That's
a bad
not
chess
fun.
Player.
No, it's
because
not a fun
I don't
game.
Like playing like that. I'm all like, oh, I'll get this many points, but I'm all like, oh, I don't care.
The other thing I like doing with Scrabble is trying to come up with 30 words.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. That is fun.
And then seeing if they're actually in the dictionary.
Yeah, but no, if James
we
got this
do that
video.
One time. Like, do like a dirty,
dirty
Scrabble. Word Scrabble.
Oh, I'm sure they have one.
We actually have that. I wonder if we could do it with the little cards.
Cards.
Because we have a card version of Scrabble. That my
oh,
mom
yeah,
got
we
us.
Do. We have that Travel Scrabble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we could. No, we... The,
so, the
James
point
got
that
this
ja-
iPhone.
Hold on.
Monopoly.
The point Jackie is trying to make is that we were married for probably close to 2 years. We'd known each other for a year before that. We worked with each other for about 6 months before that. And it took that long to figure out that we both loved Monopoly, and it was our favorite game.
And we were afraid to tell each other that.
Yes, because everybody else we know hates Monopoly.
Yeah.
It's the only game everybody hates.
I know.
And I love Monopoly.
I like Monopoly so much that I have Star Wars Monopoly.
We have Monopoly.
Yes. We got one from the Davis Mountain Observatory. I challenge you that it is not Monopoly, if that's not the reason that you have Star Wars Monopoly.
You have it,
I think you have Star Wars Monopoly because it's Star Wars.
Yeah, but I like Monopoly, so, you know, they put it in a game, and I get it.
But still...
You know?
No, but what I loved about Monopoly is growing up, and I didn't learn this until I played the computer version... was I never played it properly, ever, growing
does.
Up. We never followed
Nobody
the rules.
Does.
Wait, what's the proper way of playing it?
There's actually rules.
Yeah. Nobody follows.
Yeah.
Whenever you land on a property...
The first
and you
go round,
if,
you have
and,
to.
If you don't buy it...
It's auction.
It goes into auction.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you don't, like, yeah. And so people can buy it. Like, people can bid, like, $1.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's the highest bidder gets it. Mm-hmm. That's the rules.
That's kind of cool, though.
If you land on free parking, you don't get any money.
I was playing...
You don't get anything.
What's the money
parking.
There for?
You
it's
don't put
for
money
free.
There.
Oh, you
don't put it in the bank.
No, wait. Okay, I like the idea of bidding, and then I like the idea of keeping the whole...
Yeah, we all have these weird rules we made up.
Yeah. So make up your own rules.
And that's what Monopoly is really supposed to be only 1 or 2 hours.
Oh.
And if you play it where like you can like skip a property or when you land on free parking, you get all the bills.
Yeah.
That makes it a 7-hour game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we played them. We played on his iPhone. His iPhone had a version of it, and this is when we were working night, so we would go to gyms for dinner at, like, midnight or whatever. We'd go off work, and we were playing Monopoly, and I could play Monopoly on his iPhone and just beat up him, because I would get the entire side of the board and build it up, because if you play by the rules, it's a fast game. And
yeah.
It's a fast game. And
there's quick winner, quick loser.
And there is a clear winner and clear loser.
Yeah.
You know, there's a point in the game where it's like, okay, there's no point in playing anymore. There's no way I'll win.
Yeah.
You know.
It's whoever gets the first Monopoly.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. And once you get that Monopoly and you start building on it, you're like...
Oh, the more people you have, I think the more fun it would be.
Yeah.
But,
But I like playing it with all the variations. I love the homemade rules.
I love
playing Monopoly is not about winning Monopoly. It is about yelling and fighting
and screwing
up other people and going into jail. It's like, hey, I'm just visiting you. And then it's like, oh, I can't believe I have to pay you 900 Monopoly money.
Or the one person that always lands on income tax.
Oh, yeah.
and it never turns out that it's just like one, everybody does it. It's only one person.
Or they keep
landing on it.
Or like the one time the one person lands on the electric company and they have to die and they roll like a 10.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god.
Have to mortgage all their property. Yes.
And it's about drinking. It's about drinking sodas and eating Doritos and playing a board game.
You need to do that.
We waste a good part of the afternoon.
Yeah.
You spend time talking to each other.
We need to get a folding table.
We need to do a board game night or something like
That's kind of what I was hoping to do today.
Once or twice.
But somebody poo-pooed it.
I did not.
I'm looking at that someone.
Poo-poo. I'll poo-poo it too. No, I'm just kidding.
You're the one that said play board games while we're podcasting? I don't know.
I did say that.
Yeah.
And I said, I agree, because we knew what board game it was. It wasn't Monopoly or Ticket to Ride or something fun that I would like. No, it was Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, we'll play
with me.
We'll play.
You've heard it from me. Carol's my witness. I promise I will play with you that game, one time. I will give it a shot.
I promise I will play it one time.
Yeah. And if we hate it, we hate it. We'll try it once.
It's recorded.
It's recorded.
I'm not editing it out.
Okay, so Monopoly is our favorite one of my favorite childhood games. But I grew up playing card games. My mother was a gambler.
Wait. Monopoly, back to Monopoly.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I love Monopoly is that when we would play at my grandmother's, they had a specific one that was for Tyler, Texas. They had a Tyler version of Monopoly.
Wow.
And it had all the stores that were in Tyler, Texas.
Wow.
And this produced by the Milton Bradley Company?
I'm not sure. I mean, are the ones that have Mario produced by Milton Bradley?
Yeah. They're licensed.
So, yeah, it was licensed.
Wow. That's super. That's like super.
Pretty much anything you can think of, they have a version of Monopoly.
I know. I've seen A&M.
They have a lot of different ones.
But, I mean, that's what we grew up playing. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it was places around where my grandparents live.
That made it extra special.
So you were going on to what?
Card games. Well, my mother was a gambler, so we wanted to play games. She always played card games with her sisters.
By gambler, what do you mean?
You know the back room where you with your friends and you're drinking alcohol and you're eating
I think
food?
It's good to specify that she's Asian?
Oh, yeah, she's Thai. Yeah, and it's probably... I don't think it's illegal. I think it's legal there. I don't think they have...
The only... I guess it's kind of racist.
Oh, is it?
Like, no. What I'm thinking is, like, I'm thinking of all the kung fu movies where it has, like, all the women gambling to mahjong. Is that...
Very, very, very accurate. That's actually extremely accurate, but that's my Chinese side of the family. My mom's side, the Thai side of the family, think of that mahjong kind of thought... And put it on the floor, mats on the floor, sitting around, four people sitting around with whiskey sodas and dried salty beef with chili pepper, playing cards, gin rummy, Thai gin rummy, and they gamble, they play to a certain point number and they're gambling in there, and it's like dead serious. It's like, do not give away your tells.
So gin rummy is, you play suits, right?
You play suits, and you lay them. You lay the cards out differently than when you do normal gin rummy in America.
Okay.
Or, and I honestly, I can't even tell you now the rules.
I remember playing with you once, and every time I did something, you made up another damn rule that's like, no, I win because of this. Like,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, there's a couple of things
like
in
something
there.
About the queen. If you have the queen, oh no, that's really bad. You shouldn't have the
queen.
Yeah,
the queen of spades is worth 50 points, but if you keep it in your hand and somebody gins and you have it in your hand, you lose 50 points, and then you get a black mark, and that goes against your ranking class and how you score. It is really complicated. And my mother was a pro, but she didn't want to teach us how to play. We would play like Old Maid and Go Fish, and that's boring to an adult.
Go Fish.
That's
go
really fish. Boring to an adult. Go Fish. So yeah. She taught us how to play gin rummy to help us do math.
Oh,
to help us do math and to help us to understand
gambling, you know,
essentially gambling. But we would gamble for ice cream. We would gamble for pennies, and whoever won had to buy everybody else ice cream with whatever they won. So sometimes it was more than pennies, but the money never really went anywhere. It was just there, yeah. But it's more fun to risk if you have something to lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I've played spades and rummy, and they're kind of the same idea, at least.
Hours and hours of that. So I didn't have very many board games because my parents are older, mm-hmm. You know, and we just didn't
well,
have
and didn't y'all travel a lot, too?
Traveled way too much. But
so,
we
I mean,
had,
that's one thing that, like, board games are not really made for travel.
Like, when you asked me what games I played as a kid, I didn't say anything because all of them are already on this list.
Yeah.
I played, and now this very extensive list that James and Carol compiled, I played Monopoly as a kid. So there's stuff I played after we moved to the States. But when I was a young kid, under 10 years old, I'd only played, like, Sorry, Connect Four.
I loved Connect Four.
I like
maybe Candyland once because a friend had it.
I loved Candyland.
I don't really remember Candyland.
You don't? I like
Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders. That's what it was. Got to add that one on there. Yeah, Chutes and Ladders.
Connect Four and Sorry and Monopoly. That's all I had growing up. So I didn't have any, and I didn't have these games to play with. Sorry, honey. You wanted to say something?
Yes, I was going to ask. I've seen Chutes and Ladders, but I don't think I've ever played Chutes and Ladders.
Well, it's like you get to the certain place, and if you hit the spot just right, you can
either go shortcut. Up the ladder, yeah, uh-huh. or if you hit the wrong spot, you go down the chute.
I do
so
know.
You start down. So it's almost like that. I think it was the Mario Party.
Yeah, Mario Party.
Mario Party had something like
shortcut.
That. Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Like that one. That one was like Chutes and Ladders.
Okay.
That
and like if you were like you hit a ladder, you could go up.
Yeah.
But if you hit a chute, you'd go
you
back down.
You have to go back down, and then you have to kind of go back up, start all over again.
Have you read the Wheel of Time books by Robert Jordan?
Mm-mm.
You remember you know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Matt had that board game that he would play, the snakes and something else, and it was basically from what I heard, like from what I could tell from their explanation, it was basically Chutes and Ladders, and it's kind of the whole point was this: it's basically an unwinnable game unless you cheat.
Mm-hmm.
The snakes and the foxes.
Snakes and the foxes.
So that's what Chutes and Ladders always reminds me of.
Well, the only games I played was games that other friends had.
Because
mm-hmm. my parents weren't board game people. And then when we moved to the States, I was able to. My grandparents, we would be shipped off to visit them, and my grandparents were very old compared to us, and they were very, very, very patient to put up with twins, and we were a little bored, and we played dominoes,
mm-hmm.
to help us with the math, and then
Now, question: did you play dominoes like where you match up the numbers? On, like, a big thing, like, you measure number, or were you doing it basically, like, rummy?
Like, the counting.
Where?
You had seven tiles.
Yes.
And you put them down to add, it had to add up a certain number by five,
that's
I believe.
That's a type, there's also another type that I used to play, which is called Shoot the Moon, which is kind of a spades variant. So, basically, you had suits, like, each of the numbers was a suit, and you would do the same thing where you'd bet on how many.
That's not like Mahjong.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Mahjong.
Oh, so my uncle, by the way, he has that Mahjong gambling pool every Wednesday. He had, they would meet his business partners, and he would meet at one of their stores,
because
he owned stores and hotels, and in the back room, they'd have their gambling pool so their wives wouldn't know.
So he was
funny.
He was working.
He was working and they were playing Mahjong. It's so funny.
Well, I mean, the reason I brought it up is because I would play that all the time with my dad. That was like his favorite game is Shoot the Moon. And it's basically just this gin rummy variant on dominoes. And I think he played with his dad. Like, did you ever play any games with your dad?
Giving you that strange look. He's like, really, never.
Never?
I don't think I ever. We might have made him play Monopoly once. But, you know, when we were at the age when board games was fun, he was going through war college.
Uh-huh.
So he was doing college by correspondence.
Cards? Any card games? Nothing?
No. My dad was not very interactive. Mm-hmm. He was very busy. So we played with the maids and my mom.
Uh-huh.
And not so much my mom. She was too busy with the maids.
But you would play tie rummy with your mom.
With my mom.
When you had the chance.
When she was feeling amused.
Uh-huh.
Or else we were watching her play. We were playing with our cousins, you know. And then when she had no other choice but to entertain her children, and we had nobody else look after us, she might play cards with us. But Jenny and I were supposed to take care of each other, because we were twins, and we were always doing other stuff, so.
Did you ever play with your parents?
Yeah, we played games.
You had a board game family.
Oh my
family.
Gosh, we have a lot of board games. Actually, my parents still have the board games. But I was, we were more, I guess my younger ones were Candyland, Hungry Hungry Hippo.
I remember that.
I used to cheat on Hungry Hungry Hippo. I used to take the balls and just keep the hippo mouth open and just kind of put the balls through the mouth and be like, oh,
Is that something your parents would play with you, though?
Yeah, actually, Mom would play with me a couple times. And then
she
me and my sister
really
would.
Awesome parents,
and then my sister and I would play together
her
a lot.
Uncles.
And so, and very cool. We actually are a big board game kind of family.
The first time I played Risk was at her house with her uncles. I happened to win just because the brothers were so busy trying to compete with each other, they didn't notice me. And they let the newbie win.
Did you have Australia?
I think I might have had Australia.
Because Australia is kind of one of those
key
win conditions.
Yeah.
It's the easiest continent to get.
Yeah, I might have had Australia.
So yeah, the first time I played Risk with them is they were helping me, and that's the reason why I won.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
I think they were too busy trying not to compete with each other, and they just kind of like, Jackie, whatever, and then Jackie won. It was like,
And
I knew I never played again because I figured I won the first time, it was perfect.
You'll never win again.
Yeah, we used to love playing Operation. Operation was a big one with our family. You know, like, I think Dad really wasn't around a lot. I don't remember him playing with us very often. But I think Mom would actually play with us and actually play Operation. She was really good at it because she was really good about getting that in there without actually touching it. Me and my sister were just like, beep, beep, you know, all the time. But we played Operation and I think Candyland.
The one I remember the most is playing Clue. And that's mom loved.
I never played. The first time I played Clue was with you.
Awesome. Clue
I love
we
so
were at Kenny's house.
Awesome.
Clue's and when it was the first time we played Clue, we played Murder Mystery Clue. We played, remember that? Was
Clue's
that
like
when I was popular?
Clue,
that it wasn't just regular Clue. It was the murder mystery. And it wasn't just the board game. You had to enact or play the character.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We still have
and remember
had,
that.
And he had to be the moderator.
I don't remember that. I remember this one.
It was a long time
ago. This one version we played was actually, it came with a DVD set, and basically, like, you would play parts of it, and then you would, or maybe it was just the movie Clue. I don't know.
I love the movie Clue.
It might have been just the movie Clue.
I love that movie
Clue. I just like saying the butler did
it. That was such a funny movie. And then they always changed the ending, and you know, like, who really did it? And it was fun. It's Mrs. Scarlet, I don't even remember what it is.
I like Clue because, I mean, that was one that my mom actually genuinely liked doing because she likes murder mysteries.
Yeah. And then, back to games that we used to play. I think we played Clue. We played Slapjack. Me and my sister loved playing Slapjack. That was one of our favorite card games, you know.
I didn't like
just
that one
either. Just go Jack and just slap, you know, slap as fast as you can, you know that one.
It's like Uno, right?
No. It is, you both get half the deck,
yeah,
and you flip over cards, and every time there's a Jack, you slap it.
Slap it.
and you get a point.
You get the whole pile.
Yeah, you get the whole pile.
You get the whole pile.
And whoever has the most cards at the end wins.
So we used to like that one, or War. We used to play War. Yeah, War was the big game. Yeah.
Which is basically like you throw down a card, and whichever one was higher won. If you tied, you would keep throwing down cards until whoever got the highest one.
I'm not good at those because it requires...
Speed?
And reflex. Speed and reflex. Yeah.
With War, I don't think it did. I think it was just, like whichever one was higher.
Yeah, whichever one was higher, I think that was...
So that was, like, almost completely random. But it was neat.
That one... Oh, and our favorite... Oh, we love playing Jenga when it was really popular as a family.
I remember Jenga.
Jenga,
we actually
used to
own
play
that,
that. Yeah,
we actually
had that
I own that in Thailand.
Yeah,
we never had Jenga,
and that one was fun. We played that one as a family. Okay, but our biggest family game, I guess, is a dice game called Rat's Ass, and it's actually
a rat's butt.
Yeah, like
the butt of a rat.
It's called Rat's Ass. R-A-T-S-A-S-S. So, it's Rat's Ass, but it's a dice game. And you have six dice. I think Jackie played a couple times when she was over at our house.
But we play every holiday.
And we play every, holiday that we get together. And people always hate playing with me because I win. And I'm like, I don't mean to win. It's just, good with rolling dice because you have to get either a 1 or a 5 to get on you have to get, 5,000 points to get on it. And it's only 1s and 5s. You can only use 1s and 5s.
Uh-huh.
And if you get 3 1s, it's 1,000 points. Or 5 5s, that's 5,000 points, kind of thing. And so you just, or is it 500 points? Something like that. Anyway, you just get on the board and you keep playing until you reach a certain amount. And it's fun because you go all around, and whenever you don't get any ones or any fives, you yell out "Rat's Ass," and you can big star by your name, and then you just keep going. And so it's just a fun family game. There's another one that we used to play. It's called Guess Who.
See, I remember this. I didn't remember the name of it, but when you brought it up, I remember it.
Yeah, the one where you have the little cards and you have the people on it, and I think you played it with us. We had a travel version.
Yeah,
we had a travel version. And you put all the people up, and then you had cards. And you pick one person. And then you put that person down there. And that person has to guess.
It's almost a little bit like Go Fish.
Yeah, it's...
But you only have one fish, and everybody's trying to guess your fish.
And you have to guess who it is, and, does your person have, a mustache? And you're like, no. And you have to put down all the people who have mustaches, that kind of thing. So it was a really fun game when we were younger. But,
I remember playing Connect Four with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we would make our own rules up, too.
Like what?
I don't know. But it was just,
that long.
We lost pieces. So it was kind of if we do that, or this counts as an L. It's like an L doesn't count. Yeah, it has to be diagonal. But I think we played that game a lot, or Speed Connect 4, just so we could hit the little lever and all the pieces could
that
come
was,
out.
Yeah. The rest of the game was not really very fun.
No, the best part,
it was dumping all the little things out. Yeah.
Making the noise.
Connect 4! Oh, so another one is...
We played Marco Polo in the pool. That was a favorite game
of Marco
ours.
Polo.
With two people.
Do you know why it's a fun game?
Why?
Because it annoys the hell out of your parents.
Yeah, but my parents never had to suffer through it. We had maids. They had to.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor maids.
But that's the entire reason why you do it.
Yeah. Our poor maids had to come down with, sandwiches and water to make sure we would eat and drink. Because
Otherwise we would die.
We would
you yell at me.
I was a kid. At some point, you have to be self-aware. Preservation takes over.
Yes.
No.
That's why adults are there, to make sure kids eat and drink. And
that's why I got married.
That's exactly why. He lied to me.
Yeah.
He completely fooled me.
I never blatantly lied to you.
I thought you were self-sufficient. I told him Thursday that I was going out to your house and he'd be on his own. He's like, well, what am I going to do? I don't know. So you're going to have to pretend like you're a bachelor.
No, you said, well, you can have that curry that I left for you. And I was like, you mean the curry that I ate for breakfast?
Oh,
like, well, I guess you don't have anything.
I guess you're just going to have to figure out what to eat, like beans.
We don't even have beans.
I Yeah, our pantry is like next to nothing. Like yesterday, I was at your house and I was like,
break! Breaky break!
Games, Trivial Pursuits.
I am awful at Trivial Pursuits.
Me too. I don't really like it.
It's not a very fun game. I like the idea of it. I think it'd be more fun if it wasn't designed for super old people.
My sister does. Okay, this is not good. My sister does this every Wednesday, Trivial Pursuit, at the Lion and Rose Pub.
Oh yeah.
And they have it the whole restaurant does it, and those who want to participate, and the winner gets, like, a gift card to the Lion Rose, or whatever. But
is it actual Trivial Pursuit, or is it, like, themed Trivial Pursuit? Because there are themed Trivial Pursuit ones that are actually pretty cool. Like,
you know,
the Star Wars one.
I think I have a Disney one, and I'm actually good at that one, because I know a lot of Disney stuff.
Yeah, it's just
stuff.
Whether you know those
but
weird
it's
facts
whether
or
you
not.
Know it or not. I mean, the theme ones are much better than the regular
My grandparents had a Texas
suit.
One.
Yeah. Because the theme ones, you can actually just focus on that one.
Yeah.
Whereas the Trivial Pursuit game,
it's like,
you have,
God
it's like
knows what.
A lot of random stuff. I'm
yeah.
like,
I don't know that one.
I don't know.
Definitely makes you feel stupid sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Me and my brother went through the cards and, like, don't know any of those. It's like, we just never play it.
Yeah. I played Pictionary with my friend in high school.
Pictionary. I loved Pictionary.
And
yeah,
we did, what was that? Were you pantomime? Charades? But it's
charades.
In a, but it's in a...
Gestures.
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 And that was good, because one time I had to do Julia Child.
Oh, you
and
did.
And we cracked the entire room. I think we lasted 20 or 30 minutes. Oh, it was so funny. You had to be there.
Gestures.
Not funny.
Gestures was a fun game. Well, I'm a ham! You know?
I don't like it because I'm not good at
You're a
gestures.
Ham?
When it's board games, if you could, the first person they can ask out of themselves, that's going to be me. Oh, yeah. I have no qualms about saying something stupid.
What else do we have on there?
Oh, life.
Life. Talk
about the game
life.
Of life.
I like the game of life. Played. You never played the... I thought you played the game of life at our house.
Maybe.
And
it's
like
just
you could
the one
you could either go
cars
to
and you go and you spin
yeah.
the dial
and you can
go
get a wife
sober,
or a
and you get
kid.
A wife, you get married, and then
yeah.
you grab
Maybe
a
I
kid
did play it at
and
your
then,
house.
Yeah.
And payday, and then you get, you know,
and
oh,
like if,
sorry,
if you went to
you
college,
lost your life
why is
yeah.
that
or
fun?
Like that.
How is this
it,
fun?
It was fun at the time.
Yeah, it
kind of okay,
isn't
you know?
Fun.
Yeah.
But it's
I thought it was fun at
it's,
the time.
When you're a kid, I guess it's fun, because you're training to be a grown-up.
It was out before Sims.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's kind
of... It's like Sims, but not fun.
Sims. Yeah, the Sims... what I like about Sims is because I want them not to be like my real life.
See, I like to model my real life and do things that I actually can't do, like be an astronaut.
Okay. I just want mine to be a bum and make gnomes.
Well, you make gnome slaves.
I'm going to focus on
game.
Young games, and then we'll go on to the big ones. Mousetrap.
I remember that. I'm not sure if I remembered because of playing it or because I remember the commercial.
Oh,
had
yeah.
A very
actually,
good commercial.
We actually played it, and
we played it yeah.
a lot. But, I mean, most of the fun, I mean, sometimes we would just build the little thing and just set it off a bunch of times.
Yeah, after a while, it wasn't a very fun game. I think
yeah.
I only played that a couple times.
I mean, really, the fun
yeah.
part was setting
you know,
it off.
I think it was
yeah,
setting it up.
Definitely never
yeah.
played it, only watched the commercial.
Oh, okay. So, and then we have Trouble.
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 Sounds
yeah,
familiar,
the,
I just don't remember
the
what
Trouble,
it is.
The one with the dice.
Yeah, it has a little pop-up thing.
And it's almost like a Sorry
Again,
kind of thing. Yeah.
A commercial.
Yeah,
Sorry.
And it's not very fun.
So, Hangman. Everybody plays Hangman.
I love Hangman.
I can't spell. It was awful.
Oh, I love Hangman.
Well, you don't actually have to spell.
It's like, I used to have to guess letters. I used to have to watch Wheel of Fortune with my grandmother. It was like one of the highlights of our day.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes, we watched Wheel of Fortune. I still couldn't get the word phrases. Even if only two or three letters were missing.
Uh-huh.
I still couldn't figure out what it was.
I love Wheel of Fortune, though. I'm actually really good at Wheel of Fortune.
I think Wheel of Fortune could, you know, like a game could be fun. But again, like the problem with Hangman is you have to play with somebody you kind of don't know, because eventually you're going to run out of words.
Yeah, because you keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then, checkers and chess and Chinese checkers.
I don't understand how to play Chinese checkers.
It's kind of like checkers.
With
marbles? It's kind of shaped like a Star of David almost.
Yeah.
And you start in one corner, and you're trying to move all of your marbles to the other side of the board.
You
basically do it by jumping, and so the trick is to kind of create this kind of line from your starting line to the other end so that you can jump, because if you can jump one, and then if there's a space in between, you can jump both of those. And so it's basically just getting, I guess, all of your troops from one side of the map to the other.
This is why you like strategy games.
Uh-huh.
What's
checkers? You're trying to get your pieces to the other side of the board, and they're trying to get their pieces to that side of the board. Right?
My attention span was never good. I played just for fun, and we never finished a game.
Did you ever play chess?
Okay, I was going to go there. Ex-boyfriend taught me chess.
Which one?
Ed.
Okay.
He tried really, really hard.
The nice ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. We were really just friends, honestly. He's married to a fantastic person now. And but he taught me how to drive. He taught me how to play chess. And
play Magic.
Play Magic the Gathering.
I guess that's another one. Oh, that's another game.
Yeah, I played Magic the Gathering, believe it or not.
Really?
I
remember watching it when we were in high school. Used to play in that one area.
I'm really trying to get together a playable, like a random pickup Magic the Gathering because you're probably never going to play Magic with me again, or it would take too long to kind of teach you, and Jennifer would never play. It's the basics. But I want to get it to where it's actually a fun game that you just pick up and play. Yeah. And Magic as its core is not a pick up and play game. So it's trying to figure out a way to randomize it and make it even.
So I tried to play chess, and I can't keep strategy. I'm not planning five moves ahead. I'm not planning two moves ahead. I'm more like, oh, I can move my piece this way.
Yeah.
And I always lost. I really enjoyed it, but since I was such a poor player, the other person playing me had a miserable time.
Yeah.
I had a fun time. I just great, because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know,
I was basically just moving the pieces around.
Yeah, I move pieces around. I'm not thinking ahead, and they've seen 15 billion holes in how to win already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think with one game, I was playing with Brandon, and he wanted three moves. Wow. Three moves. I'm like, what did I do? He goes, well, you see, when you move this there, that there, this is what happens. I'm like, dude. So nobody wanted to play with me because I was not a good player.
I never played chess.
I like chess, but it's another one of those where I just didn't have the strategy for it and didn't want to try and learn. Well, not really didn't want to try and learn. I didn't want to... There's nobody I can play with.
Yeah. Your brother doesn't have the patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And computer chess, boring.
Yeah. Well, battle chess was really fun, though.
I think chess is one of those games that I like physical.
Yeah.
It's not something I want to play virtual anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the most of the fun is the pieces.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I actually want to try to play Warhammer just because the pieces are so neat.
Mm-hmm.
Not really because I care about the game, but it has neat little pieces.
Okay, so what's this one James has written down? It's called World Travel.
James, I can't really remember what it was called, but it was basically you were this world traveler and you were going around to different countries, and it was just something that I remember playing at my grandmother's, and my brother probably would remember what the heck it was, but just trying to remember what it is. It's a super fun game.
I think
game.
Our best childhood memories all revolve around board games and family nights.
Yeah.
Like, the very first Christmas I spent with James and his family, we were at his grandfather's home, and they have an entire closet full of board games.
Really?
And these are board games his parents had when they were kids. Wow. You know, they just kept them. And we were playing them, and we had so much fun. Mm-hmm. Even your dad joined in.
Yeah.
You know, we were playing. And it was probably one of my best memories, because it was one of the few times we were all together.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is fun about the holidays, with the holidays coming up, is
yeah.
you have that opportunity, even if you have to sit with the uncle you don't like or whatever. You have
reasons that I really want to go to see Ken and Nina for Thanksgiving. It's just that chance to play board games.
Yeah, that's all why we go. Mm-hmm. You know, I unfortunately have to work this Thanksgiving, and that's not fun, but
yeah,
that's life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
we'll try to get down another time, too, mm-hmm. but...
Well, I want to go before the baby comes, so...
Yeah. We'll have to figure out something.
I was thinking probably January, at the end of January, mm-hmm. because I have the first 2 weeks of...
What?
First 2 weeks of January I'm working, and then...
What? What?
We're going off topic.
Yeah.
Kind of discussing, like,
stuff. I think we're done. I want to go to Wally World. What?
You still have a couple ones.
We still have some other stuff.
Okay,
just a couple ones. Okay, Battleship, and then
I never played Battleship.
We can skip Battleship.
Okay. Did you play Battleship?
Yeah, actually, I really like Battleship. I thought it was fun.
I never understood.
I liked trying the.
We had the game. We had the game, and we never knew how to work it.
Oh, I have the electronic version
oh.
where it would actually make noises and stuff. It'd be like
you don't know
boom,
how to work
psh,
it.
No.
You
know,
so basically, what you do is you have your bottom board and your top board. Your bottom board is where you put your ships, and you place all your ships, and your enemy places all their ships, and then you basically call out coordinates of where you're firing.
A5,
and then they tell you whether they hit or not, and then what you do is you put, so if they say hit, you put a red marker
like
in your top board.
Peg.
Why your top board?
Because that's where you're marking your enemies. Yours, your enemies.
No wonder I didn't have any luck at that game.
So then you could see, like, well, if you hit one here, and then you would try and shoot around it to see if you could find the rest of the ship.
Yeah.
And you would try to sink all of their ships.
Yeah.
Someday I might try that.
It's actually fun.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game. I like it.
And it's all about the strategy of placing your... So sometimes, like, you can do something like put all of your ships over in one corner, so it takes them forever to find them. And as soon as they do, it's like
death.
And sometimes if you put two ships next to each other, that can actually psych them out, because they'll go this direction and then this direction, and they think there's a whole ship there, and they'll go here, no, there's nothing there. Then they'll go over here, no, there's nothing there. Then they'll go, okay, what about...
And you'll have
then
a limited
amount. Then they think, like, well, maybe it was just a small one. Well,
yeah,
except that
oh,
you
maybe
didn't say,
two.
Yeah, but you have to tell them when that you sink it, so they would
yeah,
do that.
The
so then they would know to kind of... But you could at least get
yeah,
them to fire extra shots.
Yeah.
And you have a limited amount of ammo, right?
No. It's whoever sinks,
oh.
the,
sinks
all of
first.
Them first.
Yeah, who
so
came
it's a,
up with this game?
Probably, I don't know. Maybe. Some marketing person.
I don't know.
So there was Battleship.
Yeah, the cast got something.
You brought up something that I have never heard of that sounded crazy.
What?
Mall Madness.
Oh, yeah. There was some more on front, but yeah.
Yeah,
So Mall Madness was one I played as a kid. I wasn't going to bring it up because I figured nobody would actually remember it. And I'm the only one who actually played it.
Do you know Mall Madness?
Never
I don't think
heard of
she
it.
Ever played it. And it was like this game that you set up, and it had like pieces, and it was set up in a mall. And so you set up a mall, and then you can use your like charge card, and you can charge. I don't even remember what the point is. All I remember is it was pink. And it had, like, it was in the shape of a mall, and it had a cool card charge.
So it's super targeted toward girls.
Yeah, it's marketed towards girls. But
didn't
it was,
they have
like,
a Barbie version? Or am I thinking of it? Because I know they had, like, a they actually sold a Barbie that had, like, a fake credit card.
I'm pretty sure Barbie had everything.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But anyway,
it
was...
see on Yahoo a couple weeks ago, they superimposed on a real-life model the proportion lines of Barbie on top of the model.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, They've done that a couple times.
I've never seen it, though. I mean, I've heard that they said that you had a proportion of a real person and Barbie, they'd fall in half, break in half, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But to actually to see how they would have to adjust the model to fit the proportions of Barbie, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was... I mean, because I'm an overweight person, so I don't really see my body image as a Barbie. I never really have. But to see if your ideal would be to look like Barbie and see what Barbie looks like on a real person, it's like, wow. It's like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You physically, you look like an alien.
Well, it's not real.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. No, it's not real.
Have you ever heard of a game called Camp Granada?
No.
No.
It's kind of... No. It was this... another game that I played with my grandparents that me and my brother loved, and it was basically this... It was a game that was basically, I guess, trying to simulate you going to this awful camp for boys or kids... And, like, you would have, like, your car would break down, and you would be attacked by alligators when you were rowing your canoe. And it's just a really fun game. I'll have to see if I can find a copy of it somewhere.
And this is the root of why you like Final Fantasy, right there.
What? What do you mean?
It's like RPG right there, board game.
It's not an RPG. You're going to camp. You're moving little things around and you draw cards. Like, you've been attacked by alligators. Move five spaces.
What's the other game that does that?
Not everything ties into Final Fantasy just because you hate Final Fantasy. That's right, she hates Final Fantasy. Send emails.
I don't hate Final Fantasy. I don't understand it. I like the movie.
Well, there were two of them.
I don't know. I didn't know there was two.
Yeah, there was one that was actually a understandable story if you'd never seen Final Fantasy, and there was another one that was based on Final Fantasy VII that was almost incomprehensible even if you had played Final Fantasy. So, you probably saw the first one.
Probably saw the first one.
Yeah. What?
This. I want to go to
Walmart. Oh, okay.
Our attention spans are waning.
I'm
waning.
Okay, let's, I had, like, the D&D and, Wrath of Ashardalon, which is the D&D board game.
Okay. Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride.
Carcassonne.
Carcassonne. Yeah. But I think we've kind of talked about, like, our history with board games and all the, like, a lot of the German board games, like Ticket to Ride and Carcassonne and the D&D stuff. I remember playing D&D as a kid a little bit, but
I never even heard of D&D.
It was me and my brother.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of bring this
up. I think I heard of D&D or knew of D&D or had some inkling of D&D.
There was this awful Tom Hanks movie that was basically like bashed D&D. It was called like Orcs and Goblins or something.
Oh, that was a book.
And he basically like committed suicide or something over it, and it was just like huge propaganda thing against Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I was a book person, and I saw the Lance Dragon books.
Dragonlance. Those are really good books.
And that's how I ever even knew there was a Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Through the books, because I spent a lot of time in a library or a
Did you read the Dragonlance books? Or did you
just
see them?
No, I did not. I just saw them.
I have them. They're good.
Eventually.
Yeah. After you read all your billions of other books.
Yeah, I'm just looking at our disparity of...
But I mean, kind of to actually get something interesting out of this is one of the reasons we found out about games like Carcassonne
was through podcasting.
Was not through podcasting, through Xbox Live. Because they were on Xbox.
That's
we were
true.
Able to find them and play them and actually learn the rules. Mm-hmm. We still haven't played Catan because they don't have a multiplayer version of Catan.
I don't like it.
I think
watched you play it.
Yeah, you might like it if we played it in person because it's kind of like almost a simplified version of Monopoly. So,
I like the arcade games.
Yeah. So I guess that'll do it for this podcast. We don't need to know what episode it is. That's it for the Verbal Diarrhea Cast.
Bye. Whatever.
Blah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Blah, blah.
So email us at verbaldiarrheacast.
And all bad podcasting is because of James.
Email us at verbaldiarrheacast@gmail.com.
Why are you looking at me like that? You know that I am somewhere checking up.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.